Advent is here. It is finally here. But you know what is also here? The rush of Christmas preparation. We rush to buy presents, to send Christmas cards, to attend parties, to host parties. We watch the required 37 movies in the sacred Christmas movie canon, and then rush to watch the 37 new movies coming out on Hallmark, all with the same plot and everything else. Of course, we cannot forget to rush to put up the tree, the nativity set, the outdoor lights, the indoor lights, and I'm probably leaving out so many things. All of these things are good, and we love to do them. They are a lot of fun. But isn't it true that it is a rush? It's a rush. And isn't it true that we can get swept away in all of the midst of this pre-Christmas frenzy? A major theme in our readings today is wandering. I think this theme of wandering is quite connected with our pre-Christmas rush. Even the word to wander comes from the Old English word for wind, a rushing wind. The prophet Isaiah asks us a very interesting question today. Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways? Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways? This is admittedly a huge question. So why don't we, for our reflections here today, maybe reword it a little bit. Lord, why do you seem to hide yourself in the midst of our wandering, in the midst of our rushing? Just think of Mary and Joseph journeying to Bethlehem. God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was with them the whole time, but hidden from their eyes in Mary's womb. Their journey was probably uncertain, and they probably did much wandering, in and out of the frenzy of many towns and cities, through desert, hills, and valleys. God was there, but hidden. Isn't it the same with us during this time of the year sometimes? In the midst of the pre-Christmas rush, God is there, Jesus is there, but hidden. We have to look for him, to focus on him, to remember that his presence is all around us, within us, and amongst us. But why does God allow this wandering, this rushing? Why does God hide himself from our gaze seemingly so often? Well, the answer to that question found in our first reading is answered in our gospel. Be watchful, be alert, Jesus tells us. You do not know when the Lord of the house is coming. Jesus asks us to look for him, to seek him, to desire him. Love, as we know, is a choice. It is a choice. And God chose us by coming to earth, by dying on the cross, by rising from the dead, and by coming to each one of us in our hearts. He especially comes to us and chose us in our baptism. He asks us to choose him back in love. And when we search, when we have to find someone, do we not yearn for them? Do we not have to choose them, desire them? Advent is not necessarily the season of pre-Christmas rush, the season of shopping. It is the season of longing, of desire. If we look for something, does that not mean that we desire to find it? In our Advent readings, we hear throughout this whole month, we will hear from the prophets, and they will speak to us about the yearning and longing of Israel for the fulfillment of the covenant, the coming of the Messiah. Lord, when will you come to save your people? These are the yearnings of Israel we hear in our readings. Should we not make Israel's prayer, the prayers of the prophets, our own prayers? Advent is about longing, and we must long for Jesus to come in our hearts. Christmas is full of joy, yes, but we need to experience that joy by first experiencing longing. And one of the ways we focus during this time of Advent on longing is to really focus our attention on finding Christ in life. There's a wonderful story I've just heard about the power of focus and also of faith. There's a mother, let's call her Vera. And she was a news broadcaster and also a author. And she had a son, Andrew, who when he was 12 years old started to complain about eye trouble, not being able to see. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, "It's probably migraine." And she goes, "Yeah, I kind of know what migraines, I have friends who have migraines. This doesn't seem to have the same symptoms." So she sent Andrew in for made an appointment for a scan. And when she was working, kind of in between the getting the results, she had this great inspiration one day when she had this, like, almost a voice from heaven spoke to her and said, "Write this story down." And it was a story about this a woman who was followed around by these two friends called Fear and Doubt. And she was brought down by these two friends of fear and doubt. And one day she woke up and they were gone. But with her was another friend, Faith. And when Faith was with this woman, all things were put to peace. And she was able to weather life's struggles because of her friend, Faith. And so Vera told Andrew about this and said, "Oh, this is," and Andrew said, "This is a great story, Mom. You got to publish this. You got to write this story." So they go into the doctor's office and get the results from the scan. And the doctor stands there with tears in her eyes and says, "Your son has a large brain tumor. And we have to operate. And there's a high chance that he's going to die. But even if he doesn't, he will probably end up being blind." So this was just devastating news. So he has a surgery, and Vera is praying to God that this would be a time of miracles. And sure enough, he makes it through the surgery, but he comes out and he is mostly blind. That one eye is completely blind and the other eye only has a little bit of vision. It's like looking through a straw, tunnel vision. And Vera sat down Andrew and said, "That story that was kind of came to me out of nowhere, I can't publish that right now because that needs to be our story. We need to put aside fear and doubt and focus on the friend of faith." And as the months and years wore by, Andrew became very frustrated and discouraged by the fact that he could barely see. And one day Vera became so frustrated and said, and challenged Andrew and said, "I'm going to take you to a place that's going to challenge your vision. You have to walk. You have to focus on faith. Focus on the person guiding you to get through this challenge." So she took her son, who can barely see, can see as if through a straw, and took him to Manhattan and had him walk through the city to follow her. And he was crying. He did not want to do this. He bumped into a ton of people. But as they walked along street after street, he got better at it. He was when he focused on her, followed her, he was able to make it through the city. And she credits it all to focusing on faith, to having that image of that tunnel vision. She said, "Andrew, this is a great gift from God. You have to focus in having this tunnel vision. You focus on what is truly important and follow that. And that is going to be a lesson for your entire life." Andrew, transformation for Andrew during this time. He graduated high school, and not only that, but went on to college and studied to help other disabled people follow faith and not fear or doubt. My friends, we may not be blind, but in the midst of the busyness and frenzy of this time of year, we can get stressed out and fatigued and lose sight of what truly matters. If we have a singleness of vision, a vision for watching for Jesus Christ, where he is in life, we will be able to slow down in the midst of the frenzy and see where Jesus is hidden. So where is he hidden in this time of Advent, this time of longing? Well, I'd like to suggest there's three primary places. The first is the silence of prayer. In moments of calm, or perhaps we would say boredom of the day, Jesus is there. Jesus is always found in silence if we take the time to hear him. And it is in the silence of prayer that we learn how to recognize Jesus in especially the second place. Jesus is found in family, friends, and other people. When buying presents, are we aware that Jesus is often present before us? Jesus is present in our friends, family, coworkers, strangers. The kindness we offer to perhaps a cousin, perhaps a manager, the person in line waiting to buy a Christmas ham, this is kindness to Jesus. You did it to me. We have so many opportunities during Advent and during Christmas to see Jesus in others. We just have to watch, to be alert. And finally, my friends, we have Jesus hidden in the most holy Eucharist. Behind the host that we see at every Mass is Jesus Christ himself. Mass is the most important action we take the entire week. Every time to come to Mass, we should make an act of faith to pray when we see Jesus upon this altar, Lord, I believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me, that you come to me. What an amazing prayer that would be if we would offer up those acts of faith. For we must always remember what happens at Mass. A humble piece of bread is changed into living flesh. A fragile, small, wheaten host is changed into God. The gospel has much wisdom for us today. Watch, be alert. My friends, we must enter into this time of Advent, this season of longing, watching for Christ. Can we see him in moments of silent prayer? Can we see him in others? Can we see him in the most holy Eucharist? If we are able to do this, our wandering, perhaps if we get swept away at times by the rush of this season, our wandering will become wonderful. That is the reason why Father Jim and I have named this next homily series Wonderful Wandering, that the Lord always is journeying with us. He may be hidden sometimes, but he's always there. We just have to watch for him.